Ja, lieve luisteraars, daar zijn we weer met allerlei LHBTI-achtige onderwerpen. En vandaag gaan we het hebben over internationaal activisme.
Nou, kijk, had
zo,
plaats.
Ik heb één keer eruit gegooid,
ja,
hè?
Nou, dat had jij goed gedaan, want jij dacht, ik laat de naam van onze gast aan jou over, of niet?
Ja, dat lijkt me handig.
Dat is Gracie, want en de rest laten we aan Gracie zelf over straks als ze er is. Maar eerst even gewoon terugkijken op de afgelopen weken. Nog iets gedaan?
Ja, we hebben toch die coming-out-dag-achtig iets in Den Bosch, toch?
Ja,
we doen wel dingen in Den Bosch. We staan weer bij de scholen.
Ja.
Ja, jij weet het allemaal, de formele stichtingsnamen en
Ja, we staan bij de Vlag voor Verbinding, die organiseert dat festijn. 10 oktober bij de scholen op de Onderwijsboulevard op het Grote Plein voor het Koning Willem I College. Bij slecht weer gaan we naar binnen. Dan is daar het atrium, zoals dat heet. En we staan er met allerlei organisaties. Roze in Blauw, Radar, COC, wij van de stichting Iedereen Mag Zoenen. Want we zijn er feit. En de mensen van de Vlag voor Verbinding. Vorig jaar een groot succes. En natuurlijk al die scholen. Afrans, Juverta, het Van Maarland,
ja,
Koning Willem I.
Ja, als je gaat opnoemen, vergeet alvast
één. Nee, ik zal er misschien wel eentje vergeten. Vonden ze het volgens mij ook mee. Dus hartstikke goed. En vorig jaar kwamen er zo'n 600, 700 leerlingen 's ochtends langs.
Ja.
Als het goed is, komt de wethouder een soort van lintje knippen. In ieder geval meeleggen aan die Vlag voor Verbinding. Zou toch wel echt tof zijn. En dan de dag daarna, 11 oktober, hebben we een officieel regenboogontbijt. En dan mogen wij onszelf presenteren als stichting Iedereen Mag Zoenen.
Dat doe jij dan. Ik ben niet zo van presenteren. Ik kan alleen dronken liedjes zingen, maar meer kan ik niet.
Ik zoek dus nog iemand om mee te zoenen. Dus, want dat is het beste voorbeeld. Maar
de regenboogambtenaar.
Ik heb nog geen vrijwilligers.
Oh.
Ja, dat is jammer, hè?
Nou,
goed. Oké, never ending story. Ik dacht, misschien moeten we gewoon ook een podcast gaan maken over mijn waardeloze liefdesleven.
Oh,
misschien dat er dan
dat
nooit verandering in komt. Goed, oké, en door.
Ja.
De internationale activist. Gracie Brenda Nanyunya.
Ja.
Ingewikkelde achternaam. Maar
voor Brabanders is die ingewikkeld.
Precies, maar dat gaat zij ongetwijfeld uitleggen hoe dat we dat goed doen. En die heeft dus de Hivos International Activist Award 2023 gewonnen. En we gaan met haar in gesprek over wat dat betekent. En waar ze oorspronkelijk vandaan komt.
Ja.
Al dat soort zaken.
Ja, en die is ook te gast in Studio Anja. Hè? Dus,
dan gaan we weer niet bellen?
Weer niet bellen. Ze komen gewoon allemaal langs
hier. Oké, ze komen vandaag allemaal langs.
Maar dan hebben we een heel leuk deuntje als Anja de knop nog weet.
Precies.
Hè?
Ja, volgens mij heb ik de goede knop onthouden. We gaan even kijken, mensen.
Ja, zoals gezegd is vandaag Gracie bij ons. Gracie komt oorspronkelijk uit Oeganda. Woont sinds februari 2024 in de AZC. En die kan geen Brabants en geen Nederlands. Dus dan moeten we even in het Engels weer, mensen.
Ja.
Ik kondig hem even aan, Anja. Ja, daar gaan we weer.
Well, that's very good. Welcome in our podcast, Gracie. I already stumbled over your surname. So I'm going to ask you to do it yourself. I announce you as Gracie Brenda Nanyunya. Is that correct?
Nanyunya.
Nanyunya.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's better. Okay. And that Anja does it.
It was I completely.
It was not trying.
Well, that's you can always at least try. That's my motto. We announced to the listeners that we are going to talk about international activism. You won the so-called Hivos Award, International Activist Award, in 2023. Now you're telling us that you're living in the Netherlands in Ter Apel, the AZC, since 2024. What happened?
Well, as much as it was a glorious thing to receive the International Activist Award, it also had repercussions, but also it was a good thing at the time for us as a country, Uganda, because we're also getting the Anti-Homosexuality Act before it was law, and we were fighting really hard. So it was so beautiful to be recognized for the work we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But upon return, I could not go back to Uganda because of the insecurity that also came with
the award.
Yeah, also being, because it was everywhere, and mm-hmm. I was famous for that at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are things that are usually talked about, like you can't do this, you can't do that. But then again, you can't leave a country where they're saying certain things and you get all this visibility and then you come back.
Mm-hmm.
It would be like in their face.
Yeah.
So things got into action, in motion, and then I could not go back.
Mm-hmm.
But on not going back, I had to first stay in Kenya because sometimes if you hibernate, things get better,
mm-hmm.
and you can always go back home. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't the case for me. I stayed in Kenya for all those months from June 2023 up to February,
mm-hmm.
before I came here.
Yeah.
And as I was still in Kenya waiting it out, it found me in Kenya. So they came looking for me in Kenya.
Oh,
and
okay.
It was so unsafe and I came back to the Netherlands.
Yeah.
To
Yeah, it's something that's really unimaginable for
yeah.
people. We of course, we also have LGBT hate and crimes against us. We were talking that just a few weeks ago, the rainbow flag at the apartment of somebody living in the city of Breda here in Brabant was burned, and the apartment was also burned. So there's hate and crime against LGBTs in the Netherlands as well, but it's usually not life threatening. But in your case, it's absolutely life threatening.
Yes, it in our case it is, but also it is something that we do so that one day we also get to see a world where people are free to be themselves. But I guess in every struggle, there's always people who start it or people who suffer through it.
Mm-hmm.
But then in the end, we're all asking for equality and maybe just leave us alone. Let us be, because despite everything that they say about us and our being queer, it never tallies with what the explanations they give.
Mm-hmm.
And we believe that it's a step-by-step kind of thing, because even here in Netherlands, you didn't just wake up and you had the freedom and people had to build the movement. People had to convince people that we're also like you. And I guess it's just taking us a little longer, but it's dangerous as well.
Maybe we go back a little bit to the movement, because you got the award because you are the co-founder of Diverse Empowerment Foundation, right?
Yes.
In Uganda.
Yes. I used to be, in the beginning, I used to work for disability inclusion. So I founded an organization that was catering to the inclusion of persons living with disabilities in Uganda. But then again, when I did come out, when I met my partner and I fell in love and I wanted to tell everyone about that, that did not come out very well to some people, especially the people I used to work with. And so words were exchanged and things were said, and ultimately it was either you step down as the executive director or we're just going to out you to the entire world. And at the time I was working in a government building, so that wouldn't have ended very well. So I did step down, but on stepping down I just felt like now I was killing a part of myself, and as a person, like it's my personal view that haven't had a lot of people fight for me as an individual. I mean, like representation wise, and I've always complained about that, but also I grew to understand that maybe they were not in position to fight at the time, but every area that I can fight in to get into the room, to be understood, for someone to listen to me, I've had to do that. And so once I did leave, I felt like, okay, now this is a part of me that is not represented and no one knows I exist. Because before I met my partner, I was like, okay, I didn't even know there was a movement in Uganda for LGBTQ persons until I met my partner. So I'm like, okay, in this movement, are there people like me? And there was none. And now this time I felt like, okay, yes, I did kill a part of myself, because I was still screaming for disability inclusion And now I am queer as well and out. And also I feel like I'm a unicorn in this community because I'm the only one who always comes to these meetings. And so I feel like there's no way I'm that unique. There must be people like me out there. So, and also I didn't feel like anyone was talking about the issues I go through as a lesbian woman, a queer person, yeah, that part, and then as a person living with a disability. So despite me feeling like they were not including me in everything, I also understood that no one was telling them what I need. And who better than me? Yep. So I spoke with my partner because they were also working in another organization. I said, I feel like maybe we should include people like me. And she's like, yes, I think I like that idea. And we brainstormed about it. And then eventually we opened the Diverse Empowerment Foundation.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And now now that you're in the Netherlands, can you still support the foundation? Can you still do something for them? Or did they have to go in hiding as well through the award? Or
No. The organization is still there. At the time, we had, of course, the government was saying if you have LGBTQ people as your tenants, you're also going to be liable, and we got evicted, but that was a certain period of time. And when you live in a war zone or when you live in a dangerous place, as long as you know you're not hurting someone, you have to find survival tactics and survival mechanisms so that you keep doing what you're doing. So yes, we eventually got another space and we're still operating, but then it changes the way things work. For example, you can't really say what you do.
So you can't put LGBT or queer in the pronouns or in the title of the foundation.
Yeah, so Diverse Empowerment and as an organization online is very queer. On ground, it's all about disability.
But how do how do people find you then? Because if you're not visible...
No, at the moment, we are the only queer disability inclusion organization in Uganda. So everyone knows us. And apparently there are also very many queer persons living with disabilities in Uganda. I knew it. I just knew it. I just didn't get a chance to meet most of them because it's happening when I'm not there. But also referrals and people, this is a techie generation where if I have a problem, I'm going to go Google my problem. And despite what the government thinks in Uganda, they've given us a lot of visibility as queer persons. So there was a time it was table conversation talking about gay people in Uganda. And now everyone's aware we exist, which is a good thing because they can't erase us completely. And also they get to know that there's a movement in Uganda for queer persons. And so we've had a lot of people who are in the closet, but also feeling so alone and feeling like I'm alone in this country, who can now just Google and find out, okay, Diverse Empowerment Foundation. Okay, these people are my people. And then maybe send a text there, maybe check on their friend who is part of another organization. Can I get an introduction to the Diverse Empowerment Foundation?
Can you tell us a little bit about the Anti-Gay Act you were talking about in Uganda? It's not signed yet, law?
It was signed last year on 26th June.
And what does it say? You can't be gay or you get killed, or is that too short a conclusion?
It's a lot of clauses and a lot of explanations that are not really explanations. But I think I'll talk about, for instance, persons living with disabilities. Apparently, if you're in a relationship with someone who has a disability or gets a disability as a result of your relationship, I don't know how that would come about. And then you're up for the death penalty.
Okay.
So dating persons living with disabilities is a no-go area unless you're okay with also being maybe dying or being in prison for life. But also promotion, because talking about something is promoting it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just the fact, if you say to another person, I'm gay,
you're promoting,
or I'm queer, promoting. Then you're promoting homosexuality.
Hmm. Yes.
And then you get a penalty or the death sentence?
That's 7 years, seven to 10 years.
In prison?
Yeah, in prison.
Yeah.
Yeah, also renting to someone who is LGBT. Yeah. That is also 7 years. Also, there's a time giving them a job also, and knowing was also an issue, but those are things they're trying to hash out.
Yeah.
So that the landlord doesn't out people.
Yeah.
But also we have people not being able to access medication because there was no privacy. Like the doctor was entitled or it was upon them to tell the
Yeah. Then so you can't ask medicine because, for instance, you have HIV or whatever.
So they have
an obligation as a doctor to report to the government. I have this person who has come to me for medicine, and he's gay. So otherwise, the doctor is also.
If they find out, they're also liable.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
They're trying to make that better now, but the damage has been done.
Yeah.
Because some people stop taking their medications.
Yeah.
And that takes a toll. And I don't know how the HIV things work, but I also believe there's a people that were supposed to be consistent with their medications. And you can't tell someone to choose between living for the next 2 years and living now. They would choose now.
Of course, yeah.
Because say, get your meds so that you live to see a better tomorrow. What do you mean a better tomorrow? What if I go today and today is the day that I'm outed and they take me to a worse place? So it's a lot of clauses, but more importantly, they're all aimed at oppressing us. And hopefully erasing us, but at this point, that is not something they can do.
No.
Yeah. But the fight continues.
Yeah, the fight continues. Yeah. Oh, you say it so because we were introducing to you and saying it's a cheerful podcast. We always have some fun, and we are just getting more and more devastated by your story. Yeah. I can feel the temperature dropping, so to speak. And then you say, but the fight continues very, very cheerfully, but it must be heartbreaking that your partner is not here, is she?
Yeah, she's not. But I got to see her for Pride, so I have to say I have been privileged. I've also been very oppressed and very depressed at one point, but I'm also a privileged person. I got to meet Ronald. Ronald has been so nice to me. Has taken me to many prides. It has been a very happy pride year for me. So it that has been happy. But then I got to leave my partner and my kids. I have two daughters, and I haven't seen them since May last year.
But that's horrible. Yeah. I mean, my daughter is now 2 weeks away because she's living in another city close by, 50 kilometers. But I already miss her. Practically, I'm already crying because I miss her after 2 weeks. You haven't seen your partner and your kids for that long a period.
No, I did see my partner. She came for Pride, Pride Amsterdam, with my kids. I haven't seen them for a year, and they're still young.
Yeah,
because they're now 10, and that is very sad. And for the most part, it makes me feel like I'm a terrible parent, but also, the lies I tell myself. I'm doing the best I can do. Yeah. And one day someone will get to have their parents in the same house with them because of something that I had to do with me, fighting for the rights of everyone to be and for every family to exist in any way, shape or form, as long as no one is being hurt. So and I also believe maybe one day they'll come and we'll be a family again.
I hope so for you.
Yeah, but on the topic of international activism or activism, you don't have to do this. So why do you want to be visible? Why do you want to express yourself? Can you explain that?
So there's something called purpose. We all have a purpose. We all have kids and be like, okay, this is my precious child, and I want to protect her and I want to do all these things for her. But then it doesn't usually turn out like that. So for me, I haven't been always in a wheelchair. I got an injection when I was 4 or 5, and then I stopped walking and things changed so drastically in Uganda. At that time, the stigma was so much, and if you had a disability, you were not human. And a lot of things were said and a lot of things were done. And eventually, as a little child, I thought, like, if I said something about something, someone will do something, even if they don't do it now. At that time, it was just nagging. If I nag enough, I'll get what I want.
Yeah.
Or at least they'll have had it. And for now, as an activist, but also as a Ugandan, I believe, like, even if we're not there in the middle, the center of the fire, we now have the, I now have the voice to speak on an international level, because they're not going to do anything to me, but I'll also bring light to what is happening and hope to the people that are still there that it will get better. It gets better.
Yeah.
And maybe show examples of all these other countries that we're proud of are so progressive and stuff, that they also didn't start where they are right now. It's a continuous fight, but as long as we're all in this together, we don't have to be like... initially, I wanted to go back to Uganda because I believed that not being there was giving up and betraying the people I'm fighting with.
Yeah.
But then... I also realized that dead people don't fight, and dead people are just people we talk about and praise and believe are heroes and stuff like that if we choose to. But people who are alive, they're change makers. The people who can, like, sway something to another direction.
Yep.
The people who can make people aware of what is happening. The people who can give people hope. So I want to be that person.
Yep.
I want to be the person who someone looks at and understand that, yes, we're still fighting. I want to be the person who gets a phone call and I can tell someone, breathe, it'll get better. And they do because they believe I am still fighting the good fight. Yeah.
So you will keep continue the fight.
Oh, to
but
the
it's
very
easier,
end.
Easier said than done.
Also, it changes shape and form every now and then.
Yeah.
For example, as I say, like, me being an activist is purposeful for me. It's something that I was maybe born to do, because starting with disability inclusion, it was a lot of uncomfortable conversations, because also that's not something people were always willing to. I feel like you're discriminating against me. No, I am not, because also it's a taboo to discriminate, but then they don't want to talk about it.
You address
but
the
then
taboo.
I would say it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, okay, I'm queer and I'm here. No, but we don't have queer people in Africa. Okay, I am here. I'm Ugandan. I'm your child. See me, hear me when I say I am queer.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do about that? So that also becomes very uncomfortable, but also someone has to say it, because they can't erase us.
Nope.
That's not something that can be done, and we're here. So I feel like I'm that person who is brave enough to say it to someone's face.
I think it's very brave and inspirational.
Yeah, me too.
But you were talking about...
But also changing shapes and forms. It's like, okay, I did that at that time. I did the interactions, talked to... when I was in disability inclusion, talked to the government, asked them why aren't they including kids with disabilities to go to school. Talked to... And then it changed. And now we talk to... Let's talk to our families. Why are you discriminating against us? And then for the most part for me, during my fight in Uganda, since I joined this LGBTQ movement, it was mostly about include me as a person living with a disability.
Yeah.
Okay, I get... And then conversation started of, we don't know what you need. We see you, yes, we would like to include you.
Yeah.
But how?
Yeah.
And then it it has been so much about me teaching.
Okay.
About inclusion. Education. This is what I need.
Yeah.
This is what I need, but also this is what I want to know about me, because the movement has been so much about getting to know, accepting ourselves, getting to know more about ourselves, and not feeling alone. Because being queer is alone. It's so lonely. I've been lucky to find my person, but for the most part, people who haven't, it's so hard. Mm-hmm. And a lot of trials for some people, and a lot of heartbreaks, so it's different. But right now, at this stage in my life, I am still doing activism, but see, me being here, having the honor of talking about this, this is still me being an activist.
Yeah, absolutely. Certainly is, yeah.
As Diverse Empowerment Foundation, I'm a co-founder, but now I'm also the advocacy officer. So that means I make as much noise as I can about Diverse Empowerment Foundation, and for people to know that we're there. And it's been productive, because for now, all LGBT organizations in Uganda who need to include persons with disabilities, we are there.
Yeah.
Just a phone call away, just an email away. And we've just finished some research and providing a toolkit for disability inclusion in the movement. So that is also activism.
Yeah.
Teaching and making people more inclusive to everyone.
Yep. Now you are getting the message heard. I'm just wondering, you said, hey, you got the award, then you couldn't go back to Uganda, you got back to Kenya, but they found you there. Can you tell us how the Uganda government found you? Does the police come knocking on your door, or?
My issue is a bit more complicated, because I also have a powerful family. Yeah, so when the family gets involved and the family works with the government, it becomes... They become a bit loose with the right way of doing things. So my brother works for the government, and he is so, like, he embarrassed the family, and now it's now global. You just made it, like, everyone aware of this, and it's, like, a shame to the family. And so it's hiding out, because also they... put out a warrant, but also now it's understandable, because it is valid. There was a time where you could say, okay, prove it, or like, okay, if you put me in behind bars, I'll come out before I had to, like, say much. But now,
they just have an allegation,
you do actually have to go to jail, and a lot of things happen. So, so I was in Kenya, and I was trying to be careful, because still Kenya is so close. But when people who have experience and they know what they're looking for do want to find you, they do. So it wasn't the government per se that came, but it was a bunch of people that he sent after knowing my location, because it also took him a while. Which also makes me feel like, I'm good at hide and seek.
No, I always try to explain it, because I do a bit of international activism as well for the union. It's not comparable to yours, but in our country, in Holland, the government and the police has pink networks, rainbow networks, and is your friend, maybe.
Yeah, they have to protect you.
But in other countries, I always have to... if the police come, they are scared. Or the government comes, they are scared. Because
the police is our enemy.
The police is the enemy, and the government is the enemy. That's sometimes hard for Dutch people to understand, so that's why I asked you.
No, that is our enemy. And besides that, if you do get caught by police, no one asks so much, because they're also wearing the uniform. And for my case, it would have been the army something, because if they, who gets you and why are they getting you? No one asks those kinds of questions. If someone is having a badge or wearing a uniform, then you must have been done something so horrible. But even then, before that, everyone's afraid to ask, because... they could get involved. Getting involved means also you being whisked away, and you don't know why you're trying to defend someone. Maybe they did something so bad, but maybe they didn't do anything at all. But this is the life we're living. So for us, seeing someone in uniform is not so hopeful as it would be if you're in trouble and you're in the Netherlands and you see someone in a cop car, you it's not the same.
I've experienced that in countries. Is Uganda the most anti-gay in Africa, or I think so, but I'm asking you because you know better.
I think Uganda was just brave enough to print it out for everyone.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are facing a lot of bad things in all African countries. Mm-hmm. For example, my time in Kenya, like I said, I'm not stopping with the activism. I was also working with different organizations, but only in a different way, like mostly virtual, like have meetings, have discussions and do that and that. But also they have a lot of things that are happening to queer persons there, but very bad things. And in Tanzania, and they also have, they don't have a lot of visibility when it comes to what they do to queer people, but it's very bad. And they usually also hold protests by the public where they're only protesting about against queer persons. And they also have all these hidden cases. They don't talk about how queer persons are treated and brutalized and traumatized. It is so much, but then again, they don't give it a lot of light because I guess they all consider that promotion. But also these are things that are happening. Just Uganda was brave enough to say to the world.
So there's no reports about that. Journalists won't tell those horrible things that are happening.
They do tell them, but the things are told, but they stop somewhere, I guess.
Not the real truth, so to speak.
We could talk about this for hours, but
Time is limited in the podcast because we have to stick with and make sure that the listeners stick with us. But we could talk about this for hours and hours. And I think it's a very impressive story that you tell us, and a heartbreaking story also. And now we, Yolanda and I, have to do a wrap up of the situation, your story and the podcast, and I'm looking at a blank at Yolanda to do so. Maybe if just think about it for a minute. If there's one thing you want our listeners to know, then you can say it. But first, I go to Yolanda, and Yolanda, you can do this in Dutch.
Shall I do it in Dutch? You understand Dutch a bit?
Not yet, but
I'll translate later.
We will translate later.
Ik denk inderdaad dat internationaal activisme nodig is. En ik vind het echt wel heldhaftig dat iemand zoals Gracie daar hier gewoon op de wereld zo neerzet. En ook zo positief bij blijft.
En absoluut. Je
moet wel positief blijven denken. Want als je ziet waar zij tegenaan lopen in Uganda of in Kenia of waar ze ook zijn, dan denk ik heldhaftig. Maar ook wel nodig inderdaad wat ze aangeeft om die stem te laten horen. Maar dan hebben wij het in Nederland heel goed, denk
ik. Dan hebben wij het in Nederland nog steeds heel goed. Ook al neemt hier de tolerantie en acceptatie ook af. Maar absoluut, petje af. De enige hier die een petje op heeft is Gracie. Maar wel echt alle respect voor haar heldhaftigheid en bravoure om dit te doen. So,
last words for you, Gracie. Do you have like a quick sentence, a short message for our listeners?
So many things.
Oh, God.
I think I should have prepared better. But I'm just going to, again, remind people of the privilege of being who you are, where you are. Because right now, most of the people that are going to listen to this podcast are people who are safe to be themselves.
Yes.
So, be happy, be happy that you can be yourselves. But also every time you hear a story like mine, if there's something you can do about it, do. If it means maybe reposting, sending a message to someone, or maybe donating to an organization that needs the support, or just telling someone my story so that they're aware of us, That's yeah. something that should be very nice.
I think that's a wonderful shout out to our listeners to ask them to be advocates of your story and of the story of the people of Uganda, because as you say, you are not the only one. There are many people in Uganda and in Africa in general who are queer and may have a disability, and they deserve to be themselves just like you are, and you are very proud of it, and we are humbled to have you to have had you as our guest today. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Also, I do acknowledge that I am privileged that I could be here, but also I want to say that I am trying to use my privilege for the best of everyone who can be here with me.
That's it. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. Wonderful. I will put all our little music. En wij zeggen op geheel gebruikelijke wijze tegen onze luisteraars. Houden we bedankt. Olé, olé.
Luister je graag naar deze podcast? Laat de maker weten dat je waardeert wat hij of zij doet. En geef een digitale fooi. Dat kan zonder abonnement, snel en simpel via fooiepot.com. Fooiepot met een d.com.